Accused of fatally stabbing an Islamic State captive in Iraq in 2017, Edward Gallagher pleaded not guilty. He went into court today saying he was not nervous at all. This is Fox News.
Once upon a time, if you had a water leak under your house or a broken drain line, the only solution was to dig. Don't dig a hole. Call Kohl. Kohl Plumbing can repair any damaged or leaking pipes without digging in most cases. Kohl Plumbing relines, repairs, and renews your pipes and with minimal interruption to your routine. All work comes with a limited warranty. Call Kohl Plumbing today at 279-8919. And remember, you don't have to dig a hole. You can call Kohl. Call 279-8919 today.
Traditionally, plumbers repair defective water, sewer, drain, and other pipelines by digging holes, breaking into floors, slabs, or walls. This type of destruction is a last resort at Kohl Plumbing. With our unique pipelining technology, we can eliminate demolition that causes extreme inconvenience, disruption, and expense. Also, it's safer. So don't dig a hole. Call on Kohl at 279-8919 or find us at kohlplumbing.com. You'll be pleased you did. And remember, when you have trouble with your bowl, call on Kohl.
Angie.
Hi, Ben.
Well, come in, darling. I have a special evening planned for you.
You do? Ooh, I like your new chandelier.
Yeah, thanks. The technicians at Crosby Electric installed it for me. They had a lot of good suggestions, like these new outlets in the kitchen, so I can plug in my wine chiller and my new self-basting rotisserie oven. Do you like squab?
Mmm, do I?
And here's my new Crosby installed ceiling fan.
Beautiful.
And now, for the big moment, sit here on the sofa.
Okay.
I'll dim my new recessed lighting, specially installed by Crosby Electric.
Oh, my.
Click on my new electric fireplace locks, Crosby hardwired them to the panel, and ask you, Angie, will you be Mrs. Benjamin Farnbush?
Well?
Yes?
I've always wanted a self-basting rotisserie oven.
I'll take that as a yes.
Whether you're popping the question or making improvements to add value and livability to your home, call Crosby Electric for an estimate and lots of great suggestions. Visit CrosbyElectric.com or call 272-2085.
Rich Thomas Weather, a service of Wiley Sanders Trucking, a family-owned company with competitive pay and great benefits. Good home time and new equipment arriving daily. Be a part of the family. Give Wiley Sanders a call at 855-777-9785.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Hi, everybody. It looks like we're headed for some dangerous heat as this 4th of July week continues. For tonight, maybe an isolated evening storm somewhere. Overnight low temperature down to about 73. They'll fade out of the overnight hours. Tomorrow and Wednesday, very hot. High in the middle 90s both days. Heat index 102 to 106 both Tuesday and Wednesday. Isolated storms perhaps, but they'll be fairly spotty in nature. Then on the 4th of July, Thursday, heat index near the 105 danger range, maybe even higher. Scattered storms around, especially in the afternoon and evening hours. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
With ASA Credit Union's free Kasasa Cash checking account, you can earn 4% APY on balances up to $30,000. Qualifications and rules apply. See an ASE rep for more details. Federally insured by NCUA. Online at yourasecu.com. ASE Credit Union. Your life, your goals, your ASE.
The views and opinions expressed on Clearing the Air are solely those of Terry Adams and other contributors. These views and opinions do not necessarily represent those of Blue Water Broadcasting, its management, its staff, or any advertisers.
Cubby Broccoli quote that I played on the air Saturday night. Cubby Broccoli, well, a series of videos appeared on YouTube about the making of the various Bond movies. Well, they asked Cubby Broccoli, they made Moonraker, and they pushed Moonraker ahead of, I think For Your Eyes Only was the one they were supposed to make, but because of the success of Star Wars and everyone's, you know, loving to see things about space, they decided to push Moonraker. So they asked Cubby Broccoli about it, and his quote was, "Well, man's already been to the moon and traveled all across the universe." Whoops. Did Cubby let the cat out of the bag? Sure seems that way. We have a call. Hey, caller. Hey, caller.
Yeah, I was just wanting to know what is the address or name of whatever I can use to look that last speech up.
I'll tell you what, go to Clearing the Air's Facebook page, and I will post it on there for you.
Oh, Clearing the Air Facebook page?
Yeah. Just Google Clearing the Air on Facebook, and I will post a link to it on there for you.
Thank you, Terry.
You're welcome. Thank you. Yeah, be glad to. As a matter of fact, I'll do that right now. Yeah, it's a very good TED Talk. Some of these talks are good. Some of them not so much. I don't agree with everything. But this one's pretty good, I got to tell you. And he's right. You know, it's weird the way our brain is so sophisticated, they can't figure it out. Scientists, they don't know how to figure this stuff out. They ain't got a clue. If they can't see it, feel it, touch it, they don't know what consciousness is. They don't believe in consciousness. Most of them don't. They don't have a clue. All right, let's see. Sorry, I'm having some serious issues. Okay, it's out there. It's on the Clearing the Air Facebook page. So there you go. How about that? All right, there's something else I wanted to play about NASA. I've talked about NASA and who founded NASA and all that good stuff. Well, we're about to get into that. So let's see what they have to say on this. I hope this is the one I listened to earlier. It should be. Well, I guess we'll find out in a minute.
Not only did NASA have some early pioneers who were interested in the occult, but we've also seen that the origins of NASA itself have a large German component via Operation Paperclip. That leaves this question begging for an answer. What is NASA?
Well, I think NASA was a front that was created to basically sideline many scientists, engineers, the general public from the possibilities of anti-gravity. If you look at the 1950s, which is the critical phase in terms of the study of anti-gravity, you see that there are a number of journals, especially in Britain, that released peer-reviewed papers. Anti-gravity was being studied in aviation journals. You had a number of companies. We know the Douglas Aircraft Company was doing extensive studies on anti-gravity. And these were showing that it was feasible and that this was something that could be used for generating aerospace vehicles, flying saucers. So then what happens is you have NASA kind of being formed at the end of the Eisenhower administration. And NASA basically is focused on space exploration using conventional rocket propulsion. And some of the chief NASA scientists leading these projects were Project Paperclip persons. Like, for example, Wernher von Braun, he was the head of the Redstone Army Arsenal for missile technology. And when NASA was formed, he was instantly transferred over to being the director of the Marshall Space Flight Center out of Huntsville, Alabama. You had Kurt DeBus being the head of the space program out of NASA Florida's center there, Kennedy Space Center. The whole NASA program was a misdirection from the feasibility of anti-gravity, which was being secretly studied in black projects by companies such as Douglas and Northrop Grumman and Lockheed and others for the military, for the Army, U.S. Air Force, for the U.S. Navy, that were all trying to get these companies to build anti-gravity vehicles for them, but were not going to be released to the public for national security reasons and because of the power of the oil lobby.
Well, you know, when people ask about this agency or that agency suppressing information, the first thing to talk about is to understand that NASA, in the rank and file, isn't suppressing anything, nor is, for that matter, the Department of Defense. You have to begin to ask the question, are there compartmented operations within various agencies, some of which work together and some don't?
People are not asking the right questions. They're not asking the right questions because they kind of think they already know the answers.
Technology is being used that we would never believe was possible.
Beginning in 1954, gravity control was mastered. Nazi Germany, they were developing flying saucer technology using anti-gravity.
With the reverse engineering of extraterrestrial vehicles, we'd figured out zero-point energy. If that were to come out, it would be the end of oil, coal, nuclear power, all of it. Interstellar civilizations can be all around us and shifted beyond the speed of light and can just pop in.
It is this wedge-shaped object in Saturn's rings, which actually has been giving off signals for 25 or 30 years.
The moon was literally like a vehicle that could be driven from one solar system to another using portals that naturally occur. What the heck is going on?
We have to break out of this perceptual prison. We have been manipulated. And if we don't change that, this will continue.
Wow. Wow. Amen to that. Yes, it will continue, folks. I'm telling you. We have been so misled. We have been lied to. We have been manipulated from the very beginning. Everything we have been taught, well, most everything we've been taught has been a lie. It's unbelievable because we don't know who we are, really. And I think if everybody knew who we, if you really knew who you were, where you came from, and what you have in you, you would not be putting up with this. They know this. This is why they've gone out of their way to make sure that we can't use our pineal gland, whatever you want to call it, pineal gland. They want to make sure that you don't know how to do that. They want to make sure that you never figure out who you are. That's their gig, because that's how they get their power, is by us remaining cattle. That's just kind of how it works. It really is. I found out something today I had not heard. This is I found this very interesting. It's like, here we go again when I read it. Kamala Harris. What do we know about Kamala Harris? Well, let me tell you. I'm just going to tell you what I know about Kamala Harris, because it's not what you're never going to hear this on the media. You know, she wants to be our next president. However, there's a small problem. She's ineligible to be president in the next election, or the one after that, or the one after that, or the one after that. Why? Because she's an anchor baby, and neither parent was a citizen of this country. Oh, by the way, she isn't black either. She's not even half black. Neither parent was of African descent. Her mother was a lady named Goplin Shamala of India, and her father was a guy named Donald Jasper Harris of Jamaica. Neither was a U.S. citizen. She was what they call an anchor baby. She's not eligible to be president. Maybe somebody should tell her, you think? Media's never going to admit that. You know that. Not at all. The media's never going to tell us the truth. You listen to any of these other shows and they tell you the media is just naive. Listen, the media is totally controlled and totally treasonous. It's not that they're naive. It's not that they just have an opinion. They're totally controlled. 95% of everything you read or everything you hear via vis-a-vis news comes from six families that control all of it. And I got to tell you, they're not exactly Christians. You know what I mean? Yeah, we need to wake up to what's being done, folks. And this country is being destroyed on purpose. Every president from, in the 1800s. Kennedy was a breath of fresh air who was trying to undo a lot of what had been done. They killed him for it. He was trying to get it. One thing they say, he was trying to get us out of the Federal Reserve by passing the silver certificates, some of the other stuff. Anytime you start messing with the international bankers' money, because that's who runs the Federal Reserve. They make fortune off of us. You start messing with the money, they kill you. Look at Gaddafi. I mean, just the list goes on and on. You mess with the money, they kill you. Why? Because money's power. Power's control. It's that simple, folks. Any business, any sport, anything where you see huge amounts of money, the bad guys will be involved in it, because that's their gig, is money. All right, break time. I'll be back very short.
Hi there. I'm Kim Williams with Alabama Home Mortgage. Let's be honest. Most of us have already given up on our New Year's resolutions, but it's not too late to get your finances in shape. Make the call that will change it all. 567-4223. You don't believe me? Listen up. A teacher in Millbrook was able to pay off $30,000 worth of credit card debt by refinancing with Alabama Home Mortgage. And get this, her monthly mortgage payment went down. With a little tutoring, now her mortgage ranks top of the class. You heard me right. That money you've been looking for may very well be right there in your home. Quit making those minimum monthly payments on credit cards. It's time to pay them off for good. Call my team today at 567-4223 or visit us online at alahomemortgage.com. That's alahomemortgage.com to see just how much money you could be saving with an Alabama Home Mortgage. NMLS 1586-368, Equal Housing Lender.
Hey, welcome back to Clearing the Air. My name's Terry Adams. I am an egomaniac with an inferiority complex. I'm trying to expose the truth on this program. That's why I'm here. 10 great lies of America's big media, or mainstream media. Number one, the left-wing, liberal, progressive, socialist regimes of Mao and Stalin did not murder 100 million citizens to ensure social justice in China and the Soviet Union. Number two, Adolf Hitler was not a left-wing, progressive, totalitarian, socialist dictator, but a right-wing, fascist, racist, totalitarian dictator. And as an aside here, it kills me when these Antifa morons call those who don't agree with them Nazis. It's unreal. Number three, Joseph McCarthy accused innocent persons of treason. Soviet spies he attempted to expose did not influence American foreign policy. Spies in the State Department, the Treasury, and the White House did not ensure Mao's victory in the Chinese Civil War and did not elevate the most murderous dictator in the history of the world. Progressive Soviet spies in the Roosevelt administration did not steer our World War II battle strategy towards an end which simplified Stalin's seizure of Eastern Europe. Another media lie. Number four, the United States could not win the Vietnam War and was right to withdraw. The American abandonment of Vietnam did not simplify the progressive communist seizure of power in Cambodia. Our withdrawal from Vietnam did not make way for the Cambodian genocide of 25% of its population. The number five big lie of mainstream media, the United States is not bankrupt. Social Security and Medicare, which are not socialist policies, are solvent. The United States can afford free college-level education, free health care for all, a universal basic income, and other welfare entitlements which we may see are required. The number six lie of mainstream media, liberal progressives are non-ideological pragmatists. Liberal progressives are not left-wing, radical, totalitarian socialists. Liberal progressives do not want to destroy the good things in life. They do not want to destroy the love between a man and a woman. They do not want to break apart the family. They do not want to divide and bankrupt America. They do not want to murder God. Yeah, good luck with that. Liberal progressive socialists are not sociopaths pursuing suicide by societal collapse. The number seven lie of mainstream media in America. The Earth will suffer catastrophic climate change if we continue to burn those nasty fossil fuels. The world's economy, therefore, must be fundamentally transformed for the human race to avoid extinction. The aspirations of the poor all across the world for a warm, safe home, for indoor plumbing, for running water, for good food, clean clothes, well-run schools, well, these aspirations have to wait until we phase out all carbon-burning fuels. Yeah. Number eight. President Trump stole this 2016 election by criminally conspiring with the Russian government. The number nine big lie of mainstream media in America, progressive liberal socialist governments do not inevitably lead to the bankruptcy of the state, the enslavement of its citizens, I would say subjects, and the jailing and murder of dissenters. The truth is that socialism has never been tried. And last, but certainly not least, lie of mainstream media in America. Multicultural orthodoxy does not divide Americans into warring tribes of race, gender, class, religion, origin, sexual orientation. Postmodernism, a sister ideology of multiculturalism, proves our thoughts are subjective and all truth is individual. There is no common truth which two or more share. Postmodernism does not ruin the search for truth. Postmodernism does not discredit our greatest inheritance, thousands of years of learning or wisdom of beauty of truth. Political correctness, the enforcement mechanism of multicultural postmodernism, cleans our language of prejudice. It does not silence unpopular dissenters. Political correctness will not empower the state and faithful subsidiaries to define truth by outlawing dissent as prejudice. In sum, postmodernism proves truth is unknowable, while multiculturalism requires we see all cultures as equal. The West and America cannot be considered superior. We should not see our place in the world and history with faith and pride.
Finally, cultural leaders uniquely capable of knowing the truth, magically exempt from the inevitable failure of thought proven by postmodernism, that they will define through political correctness the superiority of the values they require we all obey and worship. Yeah. 10 big lies of America's mass media, mainstream media, whatever you want to call it. Yeah. Right. Oh. In case you, I don't know if you caught, y'all caught this or not, but the NSA is still collecting, illegally, unconstitutionally, collecting data of Americans in violation of the law. I didn't know if you knew that or not. Just when you thought it was safe to start sending texts and emails without worrying about the NSA listening in, it seems the surveillance state is up to its old tricks yet again. Obviously, no one thought the NSA had unplugged their acres and acres of computers that record the electronic communications of all Americans, but shouldn't the NSA be a little better at hiding its efforts to deny millions of Americans the enjoyment of one of their most basic constitutionally protected liberties? Based on documents obtained by the infamous ACLU and a resulting story published by the Wall Street Journal, the Electronic Frontier Foundation, and of course it's an acronym, EFF, reports. The NSA collected information including who phone users were calling, for how long, and for how long after a telecommunications firm began sending the information to the NSA, despite the fact that it had received no orders that would have authorized them to do so. Although the name of this particular company is redacted, for years it has been widely reported that large telecommunication firms like AT&T and Verizon have worked with the NSA as part of Blarney, like Blarney Stone. It's an NSA project that leverages, quote, commercial partnerships in order to gather intelligence. These documents, I'm quoting here from an ACLU staff lawyer. These documents only confirm that this surveillance program is beyond redemption and should be shut down for good. This was from Patrick Toomey, the ACLU staff lawyer, as reported by the Washington Post. And he continues, the NSA's collection of Americans' phone calls is too sweeping, the compliance problems too many, and evidence of the program's value all but non-existent. There is no justification for leaving this surveillance power in the NSA's hands. The latest revelation of the reach of the NSA's negation of the Fourth Amendment comes only months after it was learned that the biggest of the surveillance state's big brothers had ignored a law limiting its authority and went and collected over 500 million telephone records in 2017 alone. Now, the agency, of course, blamed the massive, quote, mistake on technical irregularities. It's kind of like when those 85 videos or whatever hit the Pentagon. They just, we can't find them. And then it turned into, well, we had a new guy and he lost them. I love that. I just love it. It's like they're kids, you know. It's like they're seven-year-olds and we're the parent going, okay, where's that slingshot? I lost it. You're right. Based on their past and present behavior, the NSA considers the Constitution itself a technical irregularity. You would think that these two very public and very prohibited violations of the law by the NSA would put in peril the vote coming up in December to reauthorize the agency's authority to carry on the unwarranted collection of billions of bytes of personal electronic data of American citizens. But that would not be the case. The Trump administration has indicated that it is considering supporting a permanent reauthorization of the NSA surveillance power. Folks, they're not keeping us safe. They're the ones we need to be kept safe from. They're the enemy of the state. If you go back and you listen to William Cooper claims to be privy to information that the NSA was created specifically to deal with the, quote, alien presence on the planet Earth. Now, is that true? I don't know. Never met an alien. Couldn't tell you. But it really makes you wonder, doesn't it? It does me. One is reminded of the agency's admission, declassified back in 2014, that regardless of explicit being prohibited of such activity by the Fourth Amendment, then NSA Director James Clapper admitted that there have been queries using U.S. persons identifiers. At that same time, Senators Ron Wyden, who's a Democrat of Oregon, and Mark Udall, a Democrat from Colorado, issued a statement accompanying the publication of Clapper's letter of Clapper's letter, where the pair pointed out the NFA's perdiffy. Senior officials have sometimes suggested that government agencies do not deliberately read Americans' emails, monitor their online activity, or even listen to their phone calls without a warrant. However, facts show that these suggestions were misleading. I would go so far, folks, as to say they were outright frickin' lies. Let's call it what it is. It's a frickin' lie. And that intelligence agencies have indeed conducted warrantless searches for Americans' communications. Now, regardless of whether these massive assaults on the liberties of millions of Americans, the liberties they and their ancestors have enjoyed for hundreds of years, which, by the way, were bought and earned through the blood and sacrifice of our ancestors, are well-intentioned or not-so-well-hidden, purposeful contravention of constitutionally protected freedom from federal despotism is irrelevant. The simple, irrefutable fact is that such abuses of power were one of the sparks that lit the fire of the American War for Independence. Now, here's a bit of history that the NSA and those in power who support their unwarranted surveillance of Americans should study and remember. Definitely. In order to recover from the debt incurred in fighting the French in the Seven Years' War, Britain's national debt nearly doubled during that protracted global conflict, the King and Parliament in the UK decided to impose a series of taxes on America. Now, the colonists' opposition to those taxes was not based on the amount. Rather, they refused to submit to a scheme of revenue raising that directly violated their centuries-old rights as Englishmen, particularly those rights recorded in something called the Magna Carta. Apart from the taxes, however, King George II and his son and successor, George III, issued orders known as General Writs of Assistance. In simple terms, these writs authorized law enforcement and other representatives of the Crown to enter buildings to search for contraband without obtaining a warrant. Now, this did not sit well with American Englishmen, and they were bold in their determination to declare that they would not be subjected to searches that exceeded the constitutional authority of the King and Parliament. Another unconstitutional aspect of these writs was the fact that they were not specific. That is to say, they did not name the place to be searched, the things to be searched for, or even the people who aroused the suspicion of this purported illegal behavior. Is any of this beginning to sound familiar to you folks? Warrantless searches and seizures, unconstitutional, quote, laws authorizing these warrantless searches and seizures, government documents that grant alleged authority to search and seize without specifying the name of the person who's targeted, the things that they're supposed to seize, nor the place to be searched. This is all happening again, folks, in modern-day America. The framers despise this practice, believing that papers are often the dearest property a man can have, and that permitting the government to sweep away all papers whatsoever without any legal justification would destroy all the comforts of society. Well, it just so happens in 1776, a man named George Mason, who happened to be the principal author of the Virginia Declaration of Rights, a document of profound influence on the construction of the Federal Bill of Rights, upheld the right to be free from such searches as well. Quote, that general warrants whereby any officer or messenger may be commanded to search suspected places without evidence of a fact committed or to seize any person or persons not named of whose offense is not particularly described and supported by evidence are grievous and oppressive and ought not be granted. Thus, we have the Fourth Amendment, the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue but upon probable cause supported by oath or affirmation and particularly describing the place to be searched and the person or things to be seized. We've gone full circle. We're back to where our founding fathers found themselves before they declared their independence. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Are we going to sit back and watch this tyrannical government that's already kicked God out? Are we going to watch them finish off our country? What would our founding fathers have done? Well, we know the answer to that. We know what they did. The federal government's consolidation of control and cognizance reduces every American to the status of, quote, suspect. Our ancestors rightly regarded this as a reason to unite in a struggle to save their liberties before they were lost forever. As the influential French philosopher Jean-Jacques Rousseau warned, free people, remember this maxim, we may acquire liberty, but it is never recovered once it is lost. Never's a long time, folks.
Hello, everyone. Robbie Pelt with Capital City Roofing. If you think about it, your home is your biggest investment in life. Your roof covers your home, so why jeopardize your biggest investment on a roofer you don't know anything about when you can deal with a reputable roofing company like Capital City Roofing? We have an A-plus Better Business rating and the best manufacturers and workmanship warranties available. We do all residential and commercial roofing applications that are certified through the manufacturer to ensure you get the best material and workmanship money can buy. We also have your project in our best interest before and after construction has been done. Don't hesitate to call us if you have any roofing issues or questions. We will match any of our competitors' price and give you the same great workmanship warranty. We also give free estimates. Give us a call today and let us show you the difference. 277-3311. That's 277-3311. Or you can check us out on the web at www.capitalcityroofing.com. Capital City Roofing. We capitalize the roofing industry.
Noble here with Dixie Electric Plumbing and Air. Join us this month as we donate a portion of our proceeds to Folds of Honor, a scholarship program for the children of service members who died or were disabled in the line of duty. Thank you for your support.
License number 15033. Mr.
Sandman. Okay, now it's time for our Independence Day sale at Mr. Sandman, which will be a short sale because we will be closed July 3rd and 4th so we can party with our kids and grandchildren. But don't worry, like everywhere else, this sale will be held over for another week or two. We now have fabulous new lineups from Soda, Beauty Rest, Jameson, Sutherland, and Diamond Mattress. We will be wheeling and dealing all summer, giving you the largest selection of mattresses, headboards, and beds at the very best prices. We have everything from extra firm to sink-in luxurious plush, from quality budget sets, really nice middle-of-the-road sets, to absolutely fabulous luxury mattresses, most unique to this area. We also sell adjustable bases for less every day. Mr. Sandman has mattresses in stock for fast pickup or delivery. We're on the Atlanta Highway in Montgomery and on Highway 14 in Millbrook. Mr. Sandman Mattress Superstores. Okay, all you 1970 Lee graduates, we're planning our 50th reunion. This is the one you can't miss. Everyone's forgiving you. Come see long-lost friends. Contact Becky Leak or me on Facebook. It will be fun.
Rich Thomas Weather, a service of Wiley Sanders Trucking, a family-owned company with competitive pay and great benefits, good home time, and new equipment arriving daily. Be a part of the family. Give Wiley Sanders a call at 855-777-9785.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Hi, everybody. It looks like we're headed for some dangerous heat as this 4th of July week continues. For tonight, maybe an isolated evening storm somewhere. Overnight low temperature down to about 73. They'll fade out of the overnight hours. Tomorrow and Wednesday, very hot. High in the middle 90s both days. Heat index 102 to 106 both Tuesday and Wednesday. Isolated storms perhaps, but they'll be fairly spotty in nature. Then on the 4th of July, Thursday, heat index near the 105 danger range, maybe even higher. Scattered storms around, especially in the afternoon and evening hours. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Smart Skin Spa and Salon is the River Region's full-service med spa, day spa, and salon. Located in historic downtown Prattville. With over 500 square feet, Smart Skin offers over 100 services of all things beauty and relaxation. Find them online or on Facebook now.
Hey, welcome back to the program. This story doesn't surprise me. This comes from In Search. Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg is no longer converting oxygen to carbon dioxide, also known as she's dead, according to one of the Navy intel sources of Daniel Lee. Daniel just reported new information from a naval intelligence source that does not surprise me at all and would confirm my own gut feeling. Now, he even goes so far as to show the email from the source in the video. I would play it for you, but it's basically pointless because it's mostly images. Basically, the deep state orchestrated another huge fraud just like they did at Sandy Hook. Ginsburg died when Fox News originally showed the graphic of her passing earlier this year before suddenly retracting it as a mistake. You don't make mistakes like that. Daniel's source says the deep state replaced Ginsburg with a body double who looks very similar, and that's what's been showing up at carefully staged events. Daniel's source says Ginsburg is a card they're holding back until the timing is right. They want to use it to panic the zombies of the left who will be told it's the end of the world to ramp up the chaos. They'll say Trump cannot be allowed to replace her and that he's whacking his enemies or something crazy like that. My personal belief is that you will see Ginsburg, quote, die publicly at the end of the year so they can say it's within 1 year of the election to stop Trump from replacing her. I think they will announce it in November or December, most likely, or early spring at the latest. If all of this is indeed true, they would just kill the body double so they will have a corpse in the coffin to show the world. It makes sense. I would sure not want to be playing the part of Ruth Bader Ginsburg at this point. They cannot
afford to leave a loose end around, that's for sure. You know, they never showed George Herbert Walker pedophile Nazi Sheriff Bush in a coffin, but I predict you'll see Ginsburg body double lay in state at the Capitol for a few days, and then we'll have at least 2 weeks of coverage on the entire thing on all the fake news channels. I personally thought a long time ago that Ruth Bader Ginsburg died when Fox News showed the graphic to the world. The whole thing is just fishy, with her being completely out of sight for so long, and of course her skipping the State of the Union, just like we all knew she would. Her missing that just confirmed it. They are carefully controlling the body double's appearances, in my opinion. They couldn't have her on HD cameras at the State of the Union. I'm sure that evil Google is busy deleting all older pictures of her, too, so people can't get too specific about picking apart her body double. Well, that makes sense. Nothing is beyond belief when it comes to the Communist Socialist Democratic Party and the demonic deep state. They will lie, cheat, and kill presidents in front of the world to bring in their satanic New World Order. Yes, they will. They will stage school shootings in order to try to take our guns. They will put cancer viruses in the vaccines. How can any sane American vote Democratic when this is the party that covered up the killing of John F. Kennedy, one of the greatest presidents of all time, who tried to free us from them and their Federal Reserve? I couldn't agree more, Glenn. The Democratic Party is now directly against God and love to kill God's babies with their abortions. Trump isn't perfect, but he's God's appointed, because he was the only one who could have beat the wicked witch Hillary Clinton. The Democratic Party wants totally open borders, which will, of course, destroy our country. The Democratic Party wants to take our guns and destroy the economy of the country by providing our money to illegals while Americans and veterans get nothing. There are only two groups of people who will still vote for a Democrat: morons who still believe the lies of the fake news, and the evil people who really think it's okay to kill God's babies with abortions. No true Christian can vote for a baby-killing Democrat, because God said, "Thou shalt not kill." End of story. Glenn gets out there from time to time, but I admire his passion. I really do. He has a lot of passion for what he does, and I have a lot of respect for that, because it's not easy to keep it going as long as he have. Ben Carson's in the news, and I love this. Let's see if I can find it. Secretary of Housing and Urban Development Ben Carson speaks at the 2019 Faith and Freedom Coalition's Road to Majority Conference at the Omni Hotel in Washington, D.C. This was on June 28th, okay? Let's see. Secretary of Housing and Urban Development Ben Carson criticized secularists during an annual gathering of social conservative activists Friday morning, saying that the idea of pushing God out of American public life is similar to schizophrenia. Carson, a retired pediatric neurosurgeon who ran for president back in 2016, spoke before hundreds of Christian conservatives gathered for the annual Road to Majority Conference, hosted by the National Evangelical Grassroots Organization Faith and Freedom Coalition at the Omni Shoreham Hotel in D.C. The 67-year-old doctor urged the crowd to have courage to stand up and defend the values that the United States was founded on. I like this guy. Quote, "What we need to realize is that our country is based on Judeo-Christian principles and foundation," Carson said. "We must be willing to stand up for these principles, and the only way that we can be the land of the free is that if we are the home of the brave." Wow, that's eminently quotable. Good job, Ben. Carson, a devout Christian who regularly shares his faith, told the audience that when he came into government, people told him that he should stop talking about God so much. Here's his retort. "I said, that's not happening, because this is a very important part of who I am," he explained. "People who say stuff like that, do they realize the founding document talks about certain inalienable rights given to us by our Creator, also known as God? The Pledge of Allegiance to our flag says we are one nation under God. In many courtrooms on the wall, it says, 'In God we trust.' And every coin in our pocket, every bill in our wallet says, 'In God we trust.' It is in our founding document. It is in our pledge. It is in our courts. It is on our money. And we're not supposed to talk about it? What is up with that?" Schizophrenia, Carson contended, referring to a mental disorder that impacts how a person thinks and behaves and is often characterized by hallucinations and delusions. Yes, delusions. Many mistakenly believe the disorder involves developing split or multiple personalities. as a number of left-leaning secularist legal organizations are trying to push faith and prayer out of the public square and are even putting pressure on devout public officials as low-ranking as high school football coaches, Carson declared that Americans should not allow anybody to suppress our faith in God. Amen, brother. During his speech, Carson was also critical of those who support the right of a woman to choose abortion. Quote, "What we have is a country where we don't guarantee people anything. We advocate for life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness for all of our people," he said. "When we have strayed from those things, that is when we have gotten into trouble." Carson compared those who don't personally agree with abortion but support a woman's right to get one to Americans back in the 1800s who didn't agree with the enslavement of African Americans but did not stand up against the injustice of slavery. Now, he went and admitted that he used to be pro-choice, even though he had personal gripes about aborting unborn children. Quote, "People who were slave owners thought that since they owned slaves, that they were property, that they could do anything with them that they wanted to. They could beat them, rape them, kill them, whatever they wanted to. It was okay because they belonged to them," Carson stressed. "But then there were others that said, no, that's horrible. There's no way I can participate in that." And then there were the abolitionists who said, "Not only do I not want to participate in it, I have to stand up for those who are being killed, who are being enslaved." "I used to be pro-choice," he continued. "I said, I don't believe in abortion, but who am I to stop anyone else from doing it if they want to? What if the abolitionists had thought that way? Where would we be?" That's a good point. As a pediatric neurosurgeon, Carson said he has done many operations on babies that were premature as young as 25 weeks of gestation. "I asked the head of the ACLU one time, I said, will you advocate for babies that are still in the mother's womb?" He explained, "Because you say you speak for those who can't speak for themselves, certainly they can't speak for themselves." He said, "No, I can't do that." I said, "Well, what about the ones who are premature, 25, 26, 27 weeks? They're in an incubator," Carson added. And he said, "Oh, yeah, no problem." I said, "So the one that is in the safest place, it could be in the universe. Wait. So the one that is in the safest place, it could be in the universe you can advocate for, but the other one you can't." He said, "I know it doesn't make much sense. That doesn't make sense to me either." Carson said that he was told by the activist that he believes a woman has a right to abort up until the moment a baby is born. Carson said he asked the man if he would make that statement publicly. The answer was no, according to Carson. "Now they will actually say that," Carson said. "This is where our society has come. This is where our values have come. Human life that is viable outside of the womb, and they made it into an issue of women's rights." Carson argued that abortion has nothing to do with women's rights. "It has to do with the dignity of human life, and we have a creator who is wise enough to recognize that there is no more sacred bond than the one between the mother and the child she is carrying," Carson said. "They have perverted that bond into something that has become evil, something that is horrible, something that is harming me, and something that I have a right to kill. How in the world did we as a society get to that point?" he continued. "We have to be willing to talk about these things. It is our willingness to talk about them and to stand up for people's rights that has resulted in this becoming the nation that it has become." Wow. Ben Carson's a good man. If you haven't heard about where he came from and how he got to where he was, you need to read his bio. Because he took advantage of the opportunities this country gave him as a black man. The opportunities this country gives anyone here. And look what he became. Unreal. It's stories like his that still keeps me, let me put it this way, that still gives me faith in America. Still gives me faith in America. America's worth fighting for. It's worth saving, folks. You know, we're sitting back letting it be taken from us, and we're not doing a damn thing. I don't understand that. I just don't get it.
Bigger, better than ever. It's the Kaiser Fine Furnishings 4th of July sale. Prices are marked an additional 20% off their already 40% off discounted prices. Save on a rustic king bed was $17.59. Now only $7.59. Or a square pub table with four stools was $14.59. July 4th priced at $6.39. These examples of savings you'll find store-wide at Kaiser. Most everything in stock is ready for delivery. Check out our huge selection on recliners. All on sale. Shop Wiser by Kaiser during the 4th of July sale. Now through July 6th on the Wetumpka Highway.
The Health and Wealth Show on WACV. Weeknights at 7, Saturday mornings at 8:30, and Sundays at 1 in the afternoon. Watch for the Health and Wealth Show weekends on the CW and ABC 32. The Health and Wealth Show with David Ernest.
Okay, I want to ask you a question. I'd never heard of this. You ever heard of the Higgins memo? I found this on Liberty Nation. The Higgins memo should have been front page news across America, yet it was quietly swept under the rug and ignored by the majority of major media outlets. After speaking with the author, Rich Higgins, regarding the Iran situation in an exclusive interview, Liberty Nation decided to delve deeper into the contents and implications of this document. Okay. Liberty Nation asking, correct me if I'm wrong here, but the word in the swamp was that you were asking for the declassification of, is it called the Presidential Study Directive 11? Can you tell us exactly what that is and why it would be wise to declassify it? Rich Higgins, the Presidential Study Directive 11 was the subject of rumors for a number of years around Washington for individuals who had been interested in the wider Islamic movement, particularly as it related to the Muslim Brotherhood and their designation as a terrorist entity or organization. So much of the counterterror effort going back to 9/11 almost 20 years ago has been the focus on the guys with the bombs and the guns. We never looked at their ideological infrastructure, their clandestine infrastructure, their financial infrastructure, to a level that I thought it needed to be done. As we in the counterterrorism community watched in 2010 as the Arab Spring took root across the Middle East, most of the folks who really knew the terrorist issue were deeply concerned about the Muslim Brotherhood's role in fomenting the entire operation from beginning to end. There was this idea that it was some sort of peace and love and freedom breaking out in the Middle East, which was, to us who dealt with the subject matter, completely and total nonsense. One only need to read Sayyid whatever's, I can't pronounce, QUTB's Milestones. In that book, he talks about freedom and justice, and the Muslim Brotherhood slogan is freedom and justice. Here's Al-Qaeda's main ideological author, Sayyid, whatever, Qutb, speaking about freedom and justice, and then you have the Muslim Brotherhood on the ground in the Arab Spring talking about freedom for justice. Well, there's always been a rumor about the fact that the Obama administration had somehow played a role in the Arab Spring. What was that role? People knew that there was an interagency task force dealing with the Middle East and that sort of stuff. Well, the Presidential Study Directive 11 provides insights. To this day, it's still classified, but it provides insights as to the structure and the deliberate decision-making process related to what became known as the Arab Spring. And it provides a timeline for the decisions leading up to the Arab Spring, which is why I was pushing it so hard to get it declassified and out to the public. It's a wildly fascinating topic for all the horror and terror of the destabilization of the region. In retrospect, it almost seems as though that was the purpose in the first place, the destabilization of these formerly not-so-great countries, to be fair, but at least reasonably stable ones. Would you say that's a fairly accurate assessment? They asked him. And Mr. Higgins said, yes, it's very accurate. The devil's in the details. The Egyptian destabilization was one thing. Libya had a different cause, and there was a different causal basis behind it. But I think if you look at the wider picture, I think the document speaks to the view with which the Obama administration thought of the Middle East. I think that's the important thing that would come out of this doc. As I've seen it, I don't want to elaborate on it because it's still classified, but I think it's important for that reason. Let's see. And they ask him, as you mentioned earlier, you don't like the term deep state. Why is that? Of course, it has a lot of political baggage with it where people would say a deep state, well, it's a conspiracy theory or non-existent. But there are people working, and this is what your memo addressed, to destabilize our president. Is that right? Absolutely, he answers. The memo highlights that, and I think that the permanent bureaucracy is a classic status dilemma. It's organization protectionism. It's institutional protectionism. It's risk aversion. A lot of it is just fed by the general intellectual complacency. I think back to how people who were co-opted to participate in this operation to take down a president or to take down a presidential candidate, how these bureaucrats were co-opted into participating in something like that. Some of them were unwitting to what they embarked upon, and then there were others who thought they were just doing the right thing. They were convinced of it. It's when you lose sight of the strategic nature of your oath, where you recognize that the people in this country are the sovereign, and that this field, your organization, is really irrelevant. It's simply a means at the end of the day. I think that's the thing that worries me most about the deep state concept, is that we have a lot of people now that occupy positions of extreme power in some cases, inside the federal bureaucracy that no longer recognize that the people are their sovereign. They're far more concerned about, for example, what happens to the FBI than they are about the rule of law in this constitutional republic. They ask him, what's the best way for the president and his administration to combat the career bureaucratic complacency that seems to be operating throughout our country? And he answers, I think there are a couple of different things. First off, I think, and I say this as a former bureaucrat, there's a lack of institutional watering. It's nourishment. It's explaining to these people their role in the bigger system. But it has to be done in a direct way at the onset of their employment, and then periodically throughout their career. I think what's happened is, for example, I can pick on the Defense Department because I'm very familiar with that. General George Casey. In the Defense Department, we created a program called Capstone. It's the course that all general officers in the U.S. military must take in order to put on their stars. But when you look at the Capstone course curriculum, it's internationalist. It is statist. It is globalist. It's politically correct at its most maximum. It's how you have general officers like General Casey that when Nadal Hassan shoots 30 people at Fort Hood, and within a couple of hours, literally the bodies are still warm, and General Casey gets on TV talking about the real tragedy would be if the Army loses its diversity. Okay, well, that came from the course Capstone. That's where he learned that. Well, we need the direct opposite of that. Now, to get there, the second part of that would be a wholesale removal of top-level bureaucrats. If you look at American history, you see that Marshall saw World War II coming. He's over there. He's in the War Department. Beginning in 1938, they started removing general officers. They weren't removing them because they didn't go along with FDR's program or the New Deal or anything like that. They removed them because these officers had been brought up in a different era. They had been brought up in an army that fought with horses. And now they were going to be fighting the Blitzkrieg of the Germans. So they needed general officers who were familiar with the tactics, the techniques, the procedures, the strategy, these massive lines of communication, these massive logistic trains that were going to be necessary for full mechanized warfare, which the Germans had largely perfected at that point. As a matter of fact, we still use their Blitzkrieg tactics today. How do we go about getting that sort of a C-state change? I think that's one of the areas where President Trump was a little short-sighted. I think his assumption was that I can just come in and all these generals and these senior executives, they're going to snap to my program because I'm a patriot and I love America. Well, I think he underestimated how far inside the cultural Marxist principles have really penetrated into our system, and even into groups like the Department of Defense, where it's been the concerted target for over 30 years now. If you look at the Army that I was in during the 1990s, you don't even recognize it today in terms of, well, you have gays in the military, all the other lefty policy stuff they've been pushing. It's a massive effort that's going to be required to fix. I think the president is doing his best, but it's got to be a decades-long effort. I couldn't agree more. Donald Trump has no help. Donald Trump has been playing defense since he's been in office and hasn't had much of a chance to play offense. As you can probably tell if you've been listening to my program, I don't know what to think of Donald Trump. Sometimes I think God's hands on him. We know God will use the good, the bad, and the ugly to get his will fulfilled. We know that. I don't know. I don't know. Sometimes I see things I think he should do that he doesn't do, which makes me question. And other times, seems like he's just really got it going on. I don't know. You're going to be hearing that a lot from me in the future. I don't know. I really don't. You know, if we could go back, let me put it this way. If we were to take the Founding Fathers and transport them in time to now,
Would they be banned from social media? Many people find it challenging to comprehend how oppressive social media companies like Facebook and Twitter have become towards people who do not share their far-left progressive ideology. Well, one way to understand this is through a thought experiment. Were the founding fathers alive today, would they have been allowed on these platforms? The obvious answer is no. Some founding fathers from the southern states did own slaves. But let's put that aside for a moment and consider only their opinions. Most of them, Thomas Jefferson included, expressed a moral aversion to the practice of slavery driven by their Christian faith. Well, that sounds like hypocrisy to me. But at the same time, there was a near unanimous agreement of senators and representatives of the First Congress that immigration should be limited to free white persons of good character, as espoused in the Naturalization Act of 1790, which stayed in effect until after the Civil War. Today, anyone who expresses such an opinion, at the time held by most citizens and statesmen, quickly would be branded as a white supremacist and would be banned from social media. By modern standards, that view sounds blatantly racist, but it needs to be understood in proper context. There were no airplanes or internet back then, and global trade had latencies of years. The world they knew was fiercely tribal. The newly formed U.S. was still at war with native Indian tribes, and American trade ships were plundered regularly by Islamic pirates from the Barbary states in North Africa. The explorers that went to Africa found no written languages, no two-story buildings, no roads, wheels, machinery. They did, however, find hostile tribes who either wanted to kill them or to sell them slaves from other tribes that they had captured. See, that's something they never want to talk about when it gets to slavery. That's a whole nother show. In this historically hostile world where all cultures were at war and tribal allegiances were paramount, from where would it be natural to allow immigration? Your ancestral lands, of course. The presumption is that people who share your culture, religion, civilizational values, and ethnicity are more likely to be compatible than people from hostile countries. But notice, however, not all white people could immigrate to America. Only free persons of good character. Now, free and good character meant they were not slaves or convicts, were financially independent, did not have a criminal record, and they shared the ideals of our Constitution. They had to sustain themselves and abide by the laws for 2 years before they could even apply to be a citizen. Multiculturalism. Surprisingly, the same troubles that faced the young nation 230 years ago also plague America today. While race is no longer a requirement, modern conservatives still want immigrants to be free persons of good character. The problem is that the world outside the West is still fiercely tribal and racially conscious. Most cultures today reject the ideals of liberty and prefer socialism, corruption, and ethnic kleptocracy. Insisting on immigrants who sustain themselves and don't support socialism would eliminate billions of people from qualifying to enter the U.S., most of them from non-Western countries. Even though hundreds of millions of South Americans and Asians would qualify entry based on self-reliance, skills, and good character, leftists deem such a policy to be racist because it favors immigration from Europe and East Asia. Therefore, they insist that any requirement must be abolished. Accept open borders and the destruction of liberty, or else you are a racist. There's that R word. They've weaponized it. It's time to rethink, folks. It is commendable that the leading social media corporations want to combat bigotry, but we should consider that without the philosophy and culture of the founding fathers, slavery would still exist, not only in America, but also in the rest of the world. And it was white Christians who worked to abolish slavery and champion universal individual rights independent of race and religion. However, it is ironic and quite disturbing that the very same people who made Facebook and Twitter possible now would be censored by these very companies. It's funny how that stuff works, isn't it? I don't get it. You know, they villainize the founding fathers as evil old slave-owning white men. But if they had not done what they did, which, and I would submit to you that most Americans are too much of a coward to do what the founding fathers did, we wouldn't be here right now. And I still extend my challenge to preachers out there. If you really love God and you claim to be preaching the Word of God, why are you not talking about what's being done to our country right now and who's doing it? Because I got news for you. Jehovah is not Allah. They ain't the same deity. Jehovah is the Most High God, the Most High God, all caps. Allah is not. He's a lower level pagan God. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is. If you don't agree with me, don't listen. All right, guys. Thank you, Mr. Rick Peters. Well, I thanked you already. I'll thank you again. Thank you, Mr. Rick Peters. Good Lord willing, I'll be back tomorrow night. Remember, you always know where you stand when you're on your knees.